Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim teach us how to get ready for the supernatural move of God that is coming. A key area is knowing how to use your authority in the heavenlies. Learn more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Sister Billy Brim's back with us, and she's got some really great information about the end time.
Yeah, which we're in.
Which we happen to be in. You need to hear this.
And the great move of God that's coming. And Sister Gloria.
Yes, ma'am.
You can confirm for me and for the people that Brother Kenneth E. Hagin is a true prophet.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't have any doubt about that.
Okay, so we did get the house to confirm that the giver of these prophecies is a true prophet.
Ken
that
and
we
I
know.
Sat under him for years, heard hundreds, I guess, of teachings and hours of his messages.
Well, you're sitting under him still.
And we're preaching them now. I mean, that's where we learn faith.
Yeah, I know.
Glory
and
to
and
God.
Don't you and Ken listen to a lot of his...
We still do, yeah. Ken's got a telephone full of Brother Hagin yet.
Mm-hmm. And y'all listen to him every day almost.
Yeah.
So that's what you should do too. You should listen to great.
You don't hear everything when you hear it once.
No.
The things of the Spirit you listen to over and over and over again, like messages. You hear a message, you listen to it again and again, especially if it's something that ministers to you.
You know, Gloria, I'm not a note taker. I don't take notes.
I can't stand not to take notes.
I know, but some people are note takers, some are not. But good for, you know. Different strokes for different folks.
Okay.
I like to listen with my spirit. And if I'm taking notes, I'm kind of behind.
Yeah, this is true.
You know? So I'm listening. And then I go back if I want to take a note. Oh, I might jot down, you know, something, one-liner. But then I can go back and listen. Thank God we got these CDs. And now, well, it used to be cassettes. And listen and take some notes. But the first time through, I want to listen with my heart.
Amen. That's good.
And I always listen. Oh, my goodness. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord. And we've been reading prophecies that have come and about a great move of God that's coming just before Jesus comes. So we've looked in the Bible for the Bible to corroborate that fact. And yesterday I closed with James, but I didn't give you both verses. I only gave you one. And in order for you to see that it's a circle teaching, you'll have to have both verses. This is going to be James 5, 7, and 8 for your Bible, or jot that down. Now, in Hebrew, I studied Hebrew in the land. And in there, they have what they call circle teaching. You begin with a point, you have the meeting, and you end at the same point. And there's several places, the great truths of God are circle teachings. I have that in my book, The Blood and the Glory. But here's one right here. It starts with and ends with the same thought. And that tells you it's a complete thought.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So look at James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman is the Father. John 14 says, my Father is the husbandman, the farmer. Behold, the husbandman, the Father, waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Mm. The earth is the field. It's going to produce a precious fruit. The Father's waiting for the precious fruit. And the precious fruit is souls. Now, this big bumper crop is not going to come in until it gets the early and the latter rain together.
Mm.
Next verse, this is the one I didn't read yesterday. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Establish your heart. Boy, that's a key, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yep.
And see, it starts with the coming of the Lord. It ends with the coming of the Lord. So that tells you here's a clue to the coming of the Lord. And before the coming of the Lord, earth's going to give a great big harvest. And what's going to ripen this harvest is early and latter rains together. Now, the Bible talks about the rains being a type of the Spirit. And when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, Peter said, this is that which was prophesied. That was the early rain of the Spirit, Acts chapter 2. The latter rain of the Spirit happened at the beginning of the 20th century. And that was what we call the Azusa Street outpouring, which went around the world. So that's the latter rain. Early rain, Acts chapter 2. Latter rain, Azusa Street time. But this says, just before the coming of the Lord, you're going to get them both together. And that's also what Joel prophesied. This is a confirmation.
And both of them, each one of them by themselves changed the whole earth.
Exactly, Gloria.
Now you put them together, it's going to rock the world.
That's exactly right.
Glory to God.
Oh, man, they're going to become, one of these words, if I read it, Brother Hagin said, they're going to come by the millions.
I don't think I've gotten that word.
Well, I might be in the next one we read here.
I do read it sometime.
Bless the Lord. So now I'm going to read another prophecy. Remember that we're warring a war with our prophecies that God has given through this proven prophet, Kenneth Hagin. This one came in 1983 at a prayer seminar. In this move of God, there will be, we've already seen that there's going to be glory, there's going to be healings, there's going to be fire on churches, there's going to be revelation of faith and revelation of healing.
That had a
JD,
flame in the roof.
I was trying to say, J.C.
Was it Hash or where?
Yeah, it was J.C. Hash.
And somebody called the fire department because they saw the flames.
Yeah.
It was
He's
the
in
Holy
Winston-Salem.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah, call the fire department out. I've known of that happening in more places.
Praise
but he's
God.
One for sure witness that it happened in his church.
Praise God.
But all of those things are going to come. But now here's something that's a manifestation I heard Brother Hagin prophesy about. And this might be a little different for you. There will be a manifestation of casting out demons that you haven't seen yet. Now, some have drawn back from casting out demons. And the Spirit of God said, I began a move along that line a few years ago, and men aborted the move. They mixed some of their own thinking in on it, and they tried to control it and do it according to pattern and according to this way that we think it ought to be done. I remember when that happened, Gloria. In the charismatic move, when there's something true from God, the enemy will try to come along and mess it up. And it got messed up. And people, I know one of my friends said to me, we went to a casting out demons meeting every week, just a few of us, and cast the demons out of each other. And one time, I can't remember which it was, doorknobs or coat hangers. But this person saw, quote unquote saw, that somebody needed to be cast out the spirit of coat hangers or doorknobs. I don't know which it was.
Billy, surely you jest.
No. No, I'm not jesting.
Coat hangers or doorknobs?
I can't remember which.
At least you could do is remember which one it was.
But anyway, as best forgotten, I can tell you that right now. So when that came along and that meeting, and I'm telling you, it was, you know, people were coughing and sputing, and there can be that manifestation, but you don't say you have to do it. Anyway, now back to the prophecy. There's going to come a manifestation of casting out demons you haven't seen yet. For demons are let loose upon the earth, and they're going about as never before because they know their time is short. Says that in Revelation. And so, in this multiplication, this advance of demon activity, there will be the activity of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
Demons that have harassed men, demons that have held ministries come apart here
in check
will leave. Held ministries
that's
in check.
That's an interesting way.
Now they come
way
after
to say
ministries,
it.
See.
Yeah, sure they do.
Sure they do. They will leave. And you have not seen yet what you will see in the area of dealing with demons. Casting out demons. Now, exercising authority over demons. We're about to step into it like you'd step through a door into another room. Great. And this prophecy then talks about divine healing, how there's going to be a move of that. A revival of the supernatural, not only the supernatural in casting out demons, devils, not only the supernatural in healing the sick, not only the supernatural in speaking with other tongues, but the supernatural in the realm of the seen. Men will see the glory of God.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I've
seen a little of it, but I want to see a whole much more.
Yeah.
A cloud will hang over congregations, certain congregations, even the church building for days at a time. And everybody that passes by, sinner and saint alike, will say, "What in the world is that? I've never seen anything like that." And there will be in other places fire of the Spirit that will actually become literal. Oh, yes, in the realm, spirit realm, some of us have seen it. In the spirit realm, we've been conscious of the fire of God. But the fire will actually come into manifestation, and there will be people, saints as well as sinners, sinners as well as saints, that will see fire over all the heads of the people. It happened in Acts chapter 2. There's fire over the head of those people.
Tongues of fire.
Yeah. There will be people driving down the street or down the highway, and they'll see fire on top of the buildings. And they'll come and say, "What does all this mean?" But you see, the Lord will use signs of His presence to bring people in the last days into the fullness of His Spirit.
Signs. That's what we've always wanted,
isn't
it? Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
And into full salvation.
Fullness.
You know, the world, when they see that. Miraculous things in the realm of the Spirit.
Praise God.
But the greatest miracle of all is that there will be so many fish caught in the net that the nets can't hold them.
A boat sinking, net breaking, load of people.
There won't be church houses enough to hold them, people.
Praise God.
For the purpose of it all is that you may be fishers of men.
Hallelujah. We receive that, Lord.
Quit fishing in your own bathtub. There's not any fish in your own bathtub. Go out where the fishes are and throw out the net.
The highways,
not the hook,
and the byways.
The net. And pull them in. And the glory of the Lord shall shine, and the end shall come, and you'll stand in the place. Many will stand here in the place of ministry that you've not stood before.
Praise God.
And of course, there were lots of ministers there when he prophesied. And then he said, you know, we'll just not be able to comprehend it. But God will bring it to
Won't
pass.
Won't that be exciting?
Hallelujah. Now, this started out by saying there will be a manifestation of casting out demons. I think that's already happened. To begin with, in the understanding of the authority of the believer. There's growing more and more understanding of this. The Lord has really put it on our hearts to teach this, the authority of the believer.
The authority of the believer, Billy, and I imagine you had the same experience. When we found out the authority, that we had authority over the devil and circumstances and sickness and disease and poverty, it changed everything. It was like dark one day and daylight the next.
I know, it glow.
And we still live that way. We take authority over things that aren't
right. We couldn't live today.
We found out that we had authority over the curse.
The curse is
which
it.
Includes all sickness, disease, poverty, everything bad. And includes Satan.
Ah!
He's the author of the curse.
Yes, and all
so
the demons.
You have authority over
yep.
his work. And it changed everything. I mean, we didn't have anything, you know, but when we found that out, we
I
began
imagine.
To take authority over poverty.
Sure. Okay. Imagine you found it out from Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority.
Well, we were living in Tulsa at the same time. We were still in poverty when we were in Tulsa. And he had meetings, you know.
Yeah, he taught on the authority of the believer.
So we'd go over there, and we found out that we had authority. And that poverty had to bite the dust.
He taught a seminar when you guys would have gone to it, and then they put it in a book. The Believer's Authority.
The Believer's Authority. It's awesome.
And this is this book outsold every book we had at Kenneth Hagin Ministries many times over. I don't have time to go into it, but it had to do with the fall of the Berlin Wall, even, and communism. He wrote in the foreword to that book, "Back in the 40s, I asked myself the question, do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I'd had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I stumbled upon it, and I'd exercised it without knowing what I was doing. I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more and more light. An article in the Pentecostal Evangel prompted my study on the words power and authority. Then I came across a wonderful pamphlet entitled The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan, a missionary to China and the Philippines. As a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized, authority that we're not using. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority, but oh, listen to this, Glow.
I'm listening.
It's a prophecy. But before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers.
Yes, amen.
Who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. Mm-hmm. They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do.
And we got to live to see it.
We're it.
I mean, we were at the beginning of when
we were
Brother
at the
Hagin
beginning when he first was getting the himself
authority. Yeah.
Now,
we were broke, and we didn't know any better than to be sick, and we were not in bad health, but if we had been, it'd been bad, really. Isn't that something, how we just were at the right place at the right time?
And then he found that John A. McMillan book. And, well, actually it was pamphlets. But those pamphlets got put into a book, and I found that book later. And this is what, John A. McMillan is what really Brother Hagin studied to get the light on the subject.
Did you have it reprinted?
We had it reprinted.
Good.
Oh, yeah, we got it available.
I want it.
Authority of the Believer.
If I don't have it.
Now, John A. McMillan wrote in his preface, "The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness." He lists several reasons why. We've all seen this. We know the powers of darkness have increased. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see, and he calls it their ministry in the heavenlies.
Praise God.
To which they have been called. Such believers may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged.
Amen. That's right. Praise
now,
God.
Now, in his book, he begins with Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Remember, the book of Ephesians is the one that tells us we're going to be a glorious church. So the book of Ephesians tells us in the beginning about the authority that we have in our ministry in the heavenlies. All the Bible's for the church, not all the Bible's about the church. Some of the Bible's about other people. But the part of the Bible that's about the church are the letters, the New Testament letters. Mm-hmm. And in this book of Ephesians, it tells us we're going to be a glorious church. And in this book, there's a marvelous prayer. And that prayer starts at Ephesians 1, 17, goes on down to the second chapter. And Brother Hagin, when he was writing about this, and of course he read it in the book of McMillan's, he told us to pray this prayer every day. And to make it personal. Put your own name in it.
Yeah, he did.
And so, that's what I've been doing. Now, before we come back tomorrow, get your Bible out. And get your book of Ephesians. And you're going to read this prayer, which starts at verse 17. Now, the Bible, and this is what both Macmillan and Brother Hagin point out, there are different words, Greek words, that are all translated power in the New Testament. There really should have been a difference in them. And one of them is dunamis, which is like dynamite power, but the other one is exousia, which is authority. And they give the example of a traffic policeman and a coroner. You know, even nowadays we have little bitty ladies that are traffic policemen, let's say, you know, when they're coming out of
you
a bigger...
You and I could be a traffic policeman.
But what would it take us to stop the traffic? It would take a uniform and a badge.
Yeah.
Those little ladies, they can't stop those big semis from coming. But if they have a uniform and they have a badge, there's a power behind them. So we have authority. We
That's
don't
good,
have
Billy.
The power
like
to stop the devil, but we got something great behind us. We've got the authority.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. And tomorrow, we're going to see just exactly how to use that authority.
We learn to take authority over sickness, lack of money, serious lack of money, death.
Anything the devil did.
Used cars. Airplanes. And it worked.
It's yours now.
Amen. It'll work for anybody that'll do it. You just have to get your... You have to find out what belongs to you, like Billy's teaching us. And then you just take your authority over it and you do what the Scripture says. If it says love somebody, which it does, you love. Yeah, but they're hard to love. Well, that's not an issue. You love anyway. Amen?
Because he said
you
so.
You sow, you tithe. Well, I just don't have enough money to tithe. That's why you don't have enough money. Billy and I'll be back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.